Well, good morning, friends and brethren.
It's very good to see you today. Good to see so many visitors. We're glad that you have come our way and that you have sought us out on this Lord's Day to worship. We're glad that you are with us. As some of you who are visiting have caught on, I am leaving right after services today and leaving for Africa for another trip there. And so, at the end of service, Sandra and I, if you would just excuse us, we are going to head to the door and make our way out as quickly as we can. We're trying to get to Athens, Alabama in time for worship with the Oakland Church there tonight. That's where Justin and Jody attend, and the church there supports a man that I know we will be working with in Zimbabwe the next couple of weeks. And they've got some stuff they want me to carry. And so I need to try to see them and meet briefly with the elders there. And so to get there in time, we've just got to get right on out to the door. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow, Steve Klein and Tad Corder and I will be leaving from Atlanta to South Africa, and then the next day from South Africa to Zimbabwe. And again, Lord willing, Wednesday evening, we will be assembling with the saints in Harare, Zimbabwe. And one of us will be speaking that night. I'm not sure who yet. We'll find that out when we get there. Some folks here today from Shipley, Florida, where Tad Corder preaches. Tad's a young man that went with us last year. Young man, I think he's 35. That's young. That's getting to be young now. And Steve and I are both considerably older than Tad. And very much impressed with Tad. Just a good young man and a very great help to the work that is going on there. So looking forward to working with him. And working with Steve once again. You know, whenever the time comes where looking at making a trip, is that on back there? No? Neither one? I'm not getting anything here. All right. Never looking at making a trip like this, I've tried explaining to the church before, there has to be a reason. There has to be some planning ahead on what is the purpose, goals, and expectations of such a trip. And so, you know, modern means of transportation and travel have enhanced the ability for an evangelist to go and to visit places far away. But preachers traveling away from home is not something that's a new concept. You know, perhaps far away is a relative term these days. You know, far away in 2 days, basically, I can be on the other side of the world and be preaching. And I know the Apostle Paul couldn't have done that. But Paul and Peter and other apostles and evangelists in years long ago traveled to faraway places to them to preach the gospel. And yet, there seems to me, their goals and or purpose and goals and expectations are reasonable to consider. There has to be an understanding of what is at stake and what is at hand and what are we trying to accomplish. I mean, a church sending a preacher out to do the work of an evangelist, you know, should understand as well what the purpose is. And what I'm saying is I want the church here to fully understand, you know, the purpose and the expectation and the goals of a trip such as this. For a preacher to spend considerable time in preparation and then to be gone for a period of time from the local work, and then there's a consideration of the expense of the trip, all of these things to be considered, it's reasonable that there should be an understanding of the work. You know, in the book of Acts, we find documented for us time and again, disciples and evangelists and apostles, as they were busy about the work of teaching and converting and building those up who had become saints. We'll look at a couple of examples real quick this morning. If you'll go with me to the book of Acts. And we are going to the 11th chapter. And so by the time we come to the 11th chapter, we know that already for some years, for some period of time, there are those who have been influenced by the Word of God. Preaching has been taking place now for some time. And yet there are some Bible characters here that we are familiar with who are very busy about the work of teaching and evangelizing. And we come into this middle of the story here in Acts chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 19 here in just a moment. And we find that that there was a purpose for Barnabas going to Antioch, and that purpose seemed quite apparent, really. Verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. And some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A couple or three points that just stand out in the text to me in that is that there was a tremendous work that was being accomplished by the saints that had been scattered. It's not just about Barnabas or Paul or some evangelist that comes along. But those who had done this great work were the saints that, because of persecution, had been scattered to all of these places. And there was preaching that was done. The preaching of the word is what was done. Twice, in fact, that is said in the text. And so we know what they were doing. And we know they were preaching the word of the Lord. And there were results that came from that. And so the results of the hearing was that there were those who believed and there were those who obeyed. And so, in verse 22, we continue reading. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And so Barnabas was a teacher that had some special ability with regard to encouraging. And so with these new Christians in Antioch, there were some who saw the church at Jerusalem, saw Barnabas, you should go. And they sent him. They sent him on to the church in Antioch to work with them. And when he got there, he was glad in what he saw. He saw people that had turned to the Lord, and he did what Barnabas did well, and that was he encouraged their faithfulness. His mission was clear, and he was sent there to help these brethren. Well, as the Bible story continues, we look on to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, we see that Paul and Barnabas are in the middle of a missionary journey, as we often call it. It was Paul's first missionary journey. A point, though, that I feel like has to be made. You know, this missionary journey had nothing to do with building houses or constructing hospitals or schools or performing humanitarian needs or aids. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think people should be involved in doing those things. But what we're talking about here is, what was the apostle involved in? What was Barnabas involved in? What was the church involved in doing? I have been amazed. I was telling some the other night. Every time I'm waiting for the plane in Atlanta to go to Johannesburg, South Africa, there's a nightly flight at 7 o'clock that leaves and goes over. And I've always been amazed at how many people there are on a missionary trip, as they would say. A lot of talk and discussion going on among folks. And there are those who are going to build hospitals, and they're building houses, or they're drilling wells, or they're teaching people how to farm more effectively. All of these things are good things. But in every case I have found so far, they are attached to some religious organization doing this. And this is a missionary journey, they say. Well, that's interesting. When we call Paul's journeys, you know, missionary trips, we find that what he was doing was preaching. I mean, in every case, that was the focus of what he was doing, was that he was preaching. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and they spoke with a great multitude of both the Jews and the Greeks who believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Jews and Gentiles with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it, and they fled to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Iconia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel. I mean, again, the reference three times here to what they were doing. That is, they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the word of grace. That is, that which comes from the Lord. So there's no question about what their work consisted of. In time, they returned to some of those same places. In the same chapter, actually, it's probably just a few years later, where they find once again that they have come back to, I think about 2 years later, they come back to some of the same churches they have just visited. Verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith, and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.' And when they had appointed elders in every church, they prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the Lord, or to the grace of God, for the work which they had completed. And when they had come together and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples." And so some points can be made. That they returned to the churches, the cities where they had been prior, where there were those who had heard, they had believed, they had obeyed, and now they come back for the purpose of encouraging and strengthening those saints. And so there's some points we can make with this. The idea of building up the saints was a focus in going. The important work of helping saints to be stronger in faith, strengthening the souls of the disciples, as this text would say. It was a focus. It was a purposeful work. When Paul reminded the elders in Ephesus about their work of overseers in the 20th chapter of Acts, and about their roles as shepherds, he gave them, of course, a dire warning of apostasy that would come and even affect some of them. But he told them what would build them up. Because in that text, in chapter 20, verse 32, he said, "Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." And so we understand that with the teaching that Paul and Barnabas were doing, with the teaching Paul would do later, with the teaching that Peter was doing, with the preaching of Philip the evangelist and others such like that, the power was in the word, the grace of the word of God. And so here with Paul and Barnabas, the focus on building up the saints was strengthening the souls of the disciples. There's work to do when you consider the need of strengthening the souls of the disciples, building up the saints. And exhorting them to faithfulness, as the text would say. All of us from time to time are in need of exhorting, that very idea of being admonished even, encouraged to hold to the faith. And that was a focus of the work that they were doing. There needs to be a focus on service and faithfulness to the Lord, because sometimes we all lose sight of faithfulness from time to time, and we need to be reminded, and we need to be reminders for others. It's what we must do. You might remember Paul said to the evangelist Timothy, he said, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." 1 Timothy chapter 4. Reminding Timothy of his work and where he would find strength, where he would find resources to be able to even do the work that he was to do. Jude wrote to the saints and said, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend to the faith which was once delivered to all the saints." Jude, verse 3, contending for the faith. And he's doing that by exhorting them to do so. There was also the point made in our text in Acts chapter 14 that they were appointing elders. I find that quite interesting. That in part, the idea here of them coming back to these churches and to these saints and strengthening the saints, exhorting them to continue, also seeing the need, God saw the need of appointing elders. The apostle is following the Lord's desire to set up spiritual leadership among the saints. One of our studies, in fact, coming up in the next couple of weeks with some of the preachers, is a training on, in preacher's training, is the role of a preacher in appointing elders. And the focus of that study is going to be, preachers, we need to be working with men to help them develop in such a way that one day they might serve as elders. And I can only imagine, in part, that's what Paul and Barnabas were doing. And so, backing up to a point that we began with, there needs to be a reason to go. And for a church to send an evangelist out on this kind of work, there needs to be purpose, there needs to be goals, there needs to be expectations. And when we look at just some of these examples of the apostles and evangelists and saints going out doing this kind of work, we can identify all of that. We can identify that there was purpose, that there were goals, there were expectations that should be met. Even so much so when Paul and Barnabas came back to the church, to Antioch, they reported all that God had done with them, the places that they had gone, the churches that they had dealt with, and the preaching that had been accomplished. And so I'm hoping, even, in 3 weeks or so, that I'll have some things that I need to share out with you, so that, again, we can kind of close the loop with regard to what was done and what was accomplished. And so the church needs to be involved. The church needs to know and have an understanding of some work that's being done. Purpose. We are going to teach. So when I look at this trip, when I consider purpose, we are going to teach. We've been invited to go to Harare and Gwanda, Zimbabwe. I've been to Gwanda a number of times. It's a rural town, kind of out in the middle of the bush in the southern part of Zimbabwe. I've not been to Harare. Harare is the capital city. And in some ways, quite frankly, I've tried to avoid going there and tried to concentrate all my work on the western part of Zimbabwe. But there have been a number of preachers that have contacted Steve and I both about would we come to Harare and do preacher training. And so we've agreed to do that. We're hoping that this Thursday we start a 3-day preacher training in Harare. Everything has been organized and arranged. A meeting place for us there and places for the preachers to stay. 25 preachers are coming from Harare and from the eastern part of Zimbabwe for this training. And so, understand, here's our purpose. Preacher training in Harare, 3 days of preacher training in Gwanda, and some days of preaching in between in places I'm not sure yet, but the brethren will have that organized when we get there. It's also reasonable for there to be some goals. Our goals being to exhort and equip the preachers in the work that they need to do. When I think back of some of my early trips, the first 4 or 5 trips that I made to Zimbabwe, I spent a lot of time preaching in the bush, which was good. And there were some good things that came out of that, but always we tried to focus spending some time with some of the preachers. But in the last 3 trips, there's been just almost a total focus on spending time with the preachers and doing preacher training, that being our focus. Lord willing, this week and then next week, we'll have opportunity to teach and influence 50 preachers. 50 preachers can go out and accomplish more than Tad, Steve, and I together could ever think of trying to accomplish, the 3 of us. If 50 preachers can be encouraged in faith and strengthened in faith by the Word of God in such a way to go out into their villages and teach, well, the Word goes a whole lot farther than what 3 of us can do. And so my focus in that regard has changed, preparing preachers to teach. Some of the focus of our training is the Bible pattern and the work of the New Testament church, which there, just like here, is being challenged even by brethren with regard to what is the work of the church. And discussion about violations of this pattern of authority that God has given us. We want to talk some to preachers just about preachers, what it is to be a preacher. And there are some issues that we need to deal with. Problems with pride, envy, and popularity. Can you imagine that? Among preachers, there'd be such problems. Well, sometimes there is. I mean, sometimes there are those who want to be the most popular preacher, who want to be the preacher that gets the most requests for gospel meetings, or the preacher that is most known throughout the brotherhood. We've seen that here, haven't we? I mean, sometimes in the States. Well, it's a problem in Zimbabwe, too. And so there are some preachers that we are going to talk with. We're going to teach some classes with regard to the character and attitude of preachers. And then the idea of preachers' role in preparing men to serve as elders, and touched on that just a few moments ago. There are hardly any churches in Zimbabwe that have elders. And there's various reasons for that. But I'm afraid, just like in the United States, one of the problems has been preachers not fulfilling their responsibility in helping men to grow and desire to serve in that way. And so that's going to be a focus of some of our studies while we're there. Expectations. Our expectation is that we're going to study with about 50 preachers. And so our materials that we're making, Steve, Tad, and I both have our materials all put together that we're taking to hand out. And we hope to be able to send the preachers away with a packet of study and preaching material when they leave. So that defines for you a little bit purpose, goals, and expectations. This is a picture from last year. This was in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe. We had 23 men in a training class there for 3 days. And I'm not sure what our class will look like this year. It's other than it's supposed to be 25 students in each place that we're going to. Harare, as I said, is a city. It's a major city. It's the biggest city in Zimbabwe. And Gwanda, I know what Gwanda is. It's not so nice. It's very rural and very bushy, and it's going to be very different. Our classes in Harare, we're going to be able to teach in English, which is a joy to be able to do that. In Gwanda, everything will be interpreted. Everybody in the south part speaks in Ndebele. And so what we'll be able to do and accomplish there will be somewhat hampered, because now everything takes twice as long to say, because we have to say everything through an interpreter. Last year, Victoria Falls is where I spent most of my time in Zimbabwe. Spent a week in South Africa last year, too, some of you will recall. But we were up in here for our preacher training. This year, we're going to fly from South Africa to Harare and spend about, I think it's 6 days in Harare, 3 days in preacher training, and then a couple of days just preaching around the area. The brethren have set up some appointments for us there. And then we'll be traveling from Harare down to Bulawayo and then down to Gwanda. It's about a six-hour bus ride from Harare to Bulawayo. Not sure exactly what to expect on that yet. It was the only way we could figure out how to get from there to there with the amount of baggage and books that we're carrying. And there are no flights going from here to Bulawayo except on Air Zimbabwe. We've just chosen not to do that for many reasons we'll talk about some other time. And so we're going to take this bus ride. And what we are planning to do, I'll tell you, is on next Monday evening, Lord willing, we're coming from Harare down to around Gweru right here, and we are stopping there, and we're going to spend the night. And we're not meeting with the brethren there. We're just stopping to spend the night and rest. We will be 8 days on the road at that point, and we're hoping we can just rest. And then the next day, we'll finish the bus ride from there to Bulawayo, and we will meet Patty Kendallball, Lord willing, on Tuesday evening. We are preaching in Bulawayo that evening. And the next day, Patty, who's coming up from South Africa, is going to drive us down to Gwanda. And that's where we'll be for the next 6 or 7 days. Preacher training. And then Big Boy Dubey has arranged speaking engagements for us all around in this area out here. Now, this is bush. I mean, this is back out in the bush. Even if you're in town in Gwanda, you might as well be in the bush, really. At least we're not going to be in a tent. We're going to stay in a hotel. This is interesting to see. I think in Harare, the hotel will be sort of like a bad Motel 6. The hotel in Gwanda, I'm afraid we will wish it was like a bad Motel 6, that it would be that good. I'm not sure what that's really going to be like. But arrangements have been made by the brethren, for these accommodations for us. And as far as I know, on this trip, we have no nights out in the bush, like I've done in the past where I've spent days out in the bush. We're not planning that this trip. Our focus, remember, is preacher training and spending time with preachers. Even when we go out into the bush, I imagine we'll go out for some day trips to the bush to preach. You know, it's wonderful to go and to have opportunities to preach, but our focus, again, is to travel with two or three or four preachers and just spend that time with them where opportunity to talk about many things becomes very important. I'm looking forward on this trip to working with Josiah Mangwanyama. I've never worked with Josiah. I worked with his brother Tinson in Big Falls many times. Josiah has done all the organization of the studies in Harare and has all that put together, and just looking forward to spending some time with him. This is a picture I found online of Harare. That looks pretty nice, you know. But I'm afraid that more of what you see in Harare is more like this. This is more typical. I mean, I know the downtown area of Harare is a nicer area, but reality, this is how most people live, is more in something such as this. I'm looking forward to spending some time with Short Mpande. I've worked with Short, I think, six times in some of my travels over there. He lives in the area near Wangi, about an hour south of Victoria Falls. Short has just some really multiple abilities. He's a good student of the Bible and is a very good interpreter. I like to be able to work and have him as my translator when we're talking. He's very fast and very accurate. And in everything I've been able to see is just absolutely so solid in his teaching and in character and in reputation, and works in a very wide area. He has asked me multiple times to come and just spend 2 weeks working with him, but I've just never been able to work that out. And maybe someday, Lord willing, that'll work out. I'm looking forward to spending some time with him. Then also there's Big Boy Duke, and in the Gwanda area. I've worked with him a number of times as well. A good Bible student, a good translator. Just very sharp, good reputation among the brethren. And he has organized everything for the preacher training in the Gwanda area. I'm looking forward to spending some time with him. Here's a couple of pictures of downtown Gwanda. And beyond that, there's not much. That's downtown Gwanda right there. And it's just bush and rural villages once you get out of Gwanda. But that's the big town for hours around Gwanda. So, expectations and the purpose and goals and expectations, we should have some. I mean, to plan a trip and to be a part of an evangelistic work such as this, there has to be some goals. And you need to understand that. And the church here has to very much understand how much they are involved in that work, as well as the church in Chipley, Florida, where Pat is coming from, and the church in Athens, Alabama, where Steve is coming from, are all very much involved in sending us, you know, to these places to do this work. And I'm thankful to be able to do that. I've had several say, "Boy, I bet you're excited about going." And I find that I have a hard time answering that appropriately. I am excited to be able to go and to teach and to preach the gospel. I mean, whether it's going to a gospel meeting somewhere or sitting at someone's kitchen table down the road or going to Africa, you know, that should be something that's exciting to all of us, really. And I am excited about that, and I'm afraid I don't express that very much because the view of the trip that's coming up is exhausting, and that's not so exciting to me. And the last 2 weeks trying to get prepared has not been very much fun, and that's not been so exciting. And coming back and not being able to tell up from down for a couple of weeks is not so exciting. And so there's those aspects of the trip that I do not look forward to. But I'm going to get to preach to 50 preachers multiple times a day. And I am going to be blessed with the opportunity to go to some villages where there are people who have been told perhaps nothing more than, "There's someone coming with a Bible who is going to preach from the Bible today. Do you want to come?" And there will be Christians that come, and there will be those who are not Christians that will come too. That's exciting. I mean, that's an incredible opportunity And I look forward to that very much. But when that work is all done, I look forward to coming back here and seeing you again too. So while I'm gone, the work here continues. It'll continue on just fine without me here. But I am asking that you'll continue to be busy about the work of the Lord here, and that you'll keep us in prayers. Remember Steve and Tad and I, and remember our families while we're away. Pray for the work that's being done, that there may be multiple opportunities to preach, multiple opportunities to influence people with that word of grace. Remember what the text said? That they might be, that we can influence people with the word of grace. Because, in fact, as we know and we understand, hope of salvation comes from one source. It comes from the word of God. And that's what we have, and that's what this trip is all about, is teaching and preaching the word of God. Pray for success in that regard, that there will be good that comes from that. There's always good that comes from the preaching of the word. Let's pray for hearts that are open and honest and seeking truth, and that their hearts may be moved by the word of God. We've not talked so much about salvation and things pertaining to that today. But as the lesson comes to a close, I want to offer an opportunity for any today who need to obey the gospel of Christ, for any who need to become baptized believers, for any who are Christians who have fallen from faith and are looking and needing to return back to the Lord, repent of your sins, pray forgiveness. If in any way we can help and encourage you, would you come as we stand and sing?